With that, I'll call the meeting to order. And for I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda. So we have a motion by Mr. Wasland and a second by Grumman. And so all in favor, if there's no discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, the motion carries. And the final agenda, by the way, is, well, it's what's on the website and it's what's in front of us. There's a little bit of variation from there, but they're all discussion items. Just before we go to the item number two, I just want to say thank you to the City of Watertown for letting us use this facility. It's an excellent facility with the all the technology that we have, particularly the microphones and the computer projector. So we appreciate that. Also, I want to make a note that we do have a quorum here, because the voting members are the four members of the public, Mr. Wasland, Mr. Koistinen, Ms. Grumman, and Mr. Endres, who's probably on his way, and then Commissioner McElhaney, myself, and Sheriff Wishart. So those are the voting members. The two non-voting members are Judge Tim and Mr. Walder, the Chief Corrections Officer, who are here to assist us and advise us with their expertise. So with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting of April 9th.
So moved.
So motion by McElhaney. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Grumman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. So motion carries. And by the way, the minutes, right now they're posted online on the Cotting County Justice Advisory Committee website, which is on the county website. So the draft version. So we'll post them as final minutes. Okay. Then just a reminder to folks that the Board of County Commissioners has charged us with these four instructions to review the previous work done before the vote on the Justice Center in November 2014 to see what we can glean from that, and then as necessary to further analyze to figure out what our needs are, so needs assessment essentially, turn those needs assessment into criteria, that's instruction number three, and then coming up with options, space options, save to seat for your egg there, coming up with options for actually how we might solve our space needs and using those criteria from the third instruction to do that. And so if we're to look at where we stand on that, we've done the top bar is basically that first instruction review of the pre-November 2014 work. It's green because we did a short summary report. So basically the message from that previous work is that, yes, we do have a need and we need to address it. And so that's what we're doing. And then the second two rows, it's kind of hard to describe there, but I guess I can use this pointer. But this part is dealing with the second instruction, so analyzing what we need to analyze. And so as folks know, we've hired a jail consultant, Mr. Garnos, and then we have the National Center for State Courts providing us technical assistance. And so we're working on obtaining the needed analysis for both the jail and the court to figure out what our needs are. So that's basically where we stand right now. Okay. And with that, this is the slide we looked at last week when we spoke to Mr. Changmin Ye on the speakerphone, if you'll recall, in our last meeting. Well, he's here tonight, and today was a day very busy for him to talk to everybody we could find in the courthouse, I think, and the state's attorney, meet the county commissioners. And so we just finished a very full day, and now we kind of timed it so that he could be present here for this meeting as well. And so you're first on the agenda. So if you want to come up to the table, your slide is next. This is the proposal, basically, to help us get to our needs. I can click the slides for you, okay. Changming.
Thank you very much to give me the opportunity to explain the technical assistance service that National Center for State Courts providing to Cuddington County. This court facility needs assessment, the planning of the courthouse future. And I have been a core facility planner with National Center for the past 28 years. My background is architecture, engineering, and computer science. National Center for State Courts is a nonprofit organization, and the judicial system of the 50 states are the member of the National Center for State Courts. So National Center, besides provide regular service to all the clients, we also provide free technical assistance to some of the rural courts and rural county government to address the court issue. So this, I've been approached by Commissioner Gable a few months ago and mentioning about the issue of your facility project. And at that time, we contact with the State Court Administrator's Office, the Supreme Court in Pierce, and try to forward the request made by the county. And with their approval, National Center set aside its own resource and budget the cost for me to provide the service. And I personally been working in the court facility planning for the over past 28 years, and I have been involved in the publication of some courthouse design guidelines. The first version of that was delivered in 1990, and subsequently it has been updated. So through those research and also actual work, basically I have worked more than hundreds of courthouse projects, big or small, and different kinds of courts. So I just want to share with you a little bit about the nature of this planning study. The National Center will be working with you to address this needs assessment. In the meantime, we are going to we would like to share with you some of the general principle. What does it mean, the needs analysis, and what need to be addressed in the process, and what's the end product that will address your facility situation. And it just gives a quick PowerPoint information for you to describe about the progression of American courthouse. Okay. And this is a courthouse in Williamsburg, Virginia, where the headquarters of National Center is located. And this is a colonial-style courthouse. When you look at this building, inside, that's a typical courtroom at that time during the colonial era. And you can see this the judges will sit here and the prosecutor standing here, the accused will be sit there. And then with the jurors sitting in front of the jurors. And those are the people sitting here. And then we have audience standing behind the rail. This is what we had 200 some years ago. And this courthouse structure is still in a colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. And one story is, if you notice, this building is a brick building with a front portico. And the portico is hanging out, a cantilever structure, which you didn't see that 200-some years ago. Architecture was not that good at the time. The reason is they ordered the column, the pillar, the wood column. However, because the independent war broke out and the order was never shipped from England back to U.S., that's why you see the front, they don't have the colonnade, okay? But that's the history of that. Going back, as we look at the historic courthouse and then look at what's today's courthouse design, courthouse construction, and there are some of the courthouse project, National Center being involved, okay, over the past several years. And those are some of the largest courthouse, like the center one, the one in Maricopa County, which is in Phoenix, Arizona. There's a criminal court tower, which is $350 million project cost. And this one is over $110 million. And this one is the older courthouse in Florence, Arizona. When you look at different kind of courthouse design, or different shape and form, what we are more interested in is what the functionality that need to be built in the environment, physical environment. That's why you can see some of the issue. And one big issue is cost conscientious. And courthouse construction today are very, very expensive. And any of those projects, it may cost a fortune. For any local government to indulge in many of those high-risk, expensive effort, we need to have a cost-effective solution. Okay, and some of the traditional thinking about what the courthouse should be still need to be maintained. However, functionality will be important. Second, this is a new thing, okay, user-friendly. And in the court environment, in the past, we were saying there's a sanction institution to deal with the people commit bad thing. Okay. However, today's courts, we are not just sanctioning those people who get dragged into criminal cases, but we also deal with the general citizen. So they have a family cases, family matter need to be resolved, civil matter need to be resolved. And also we have juvenile coming through the system. So the environment is more service-oriented to try to solve the issue. That's why the court has seen a new trend in terms of service. The service is considered a problem-solving court program to address the DUI issue and drug issue the society had to deal with. And also we have some innovative programs such as teen court to address how the teen children take responsibility of themselves. And those issues need to be looked at. Most importantly, today's courthouse is different than the traditional institution look. It's more green, environmental conscientious, and also environment will be more pleasant for not just people using the facility, but also for employee working inside. Yeah. The other thing is about functionality, and there are some special requirements as today. We want the related function be properly arranged with security control and access control, and also public utilization of those. And as any courthouse project you are going to work on, you are trying to address a long-term solution. So do not confine yourself with what you have now. And also do not confine and limit yourself to the current thinking. Be open and make provision for the future changes. And as we say, what's the planning trying to do? There are the three other things we need to answer in this technical system. Where are we today? Okay, based on your use, based on your calendar, based on the core workload, okay, you try to address what the space and functionality of this core should be. And second is look at a long-term solution. What's the future? Okay, what's the horizon as we plan for the use of this facility? And the current courthouse was built in 1928. It's almost 87 years old and probably older than anyone in the room tonight. And okay, somebody is more senior than that. Yeah, however, it's a very, very nice building. Okay, I have to say that. It is well maintained. I have to compliment the community. Okay, you take good care of that building for the past 87 years. Look very, very impressive. I look at the courthouse around country, hundreds of them, and this is a nice one. Okay, I have to say that. And it's a jewel of the local community, and everybody loves that, I think, even though you don't want to be dragged into the courthouse to conduct official business, but you like that piece of architecture. And that's why, how do we extend the life of this building? And how do we address the long term? Long term means typically in facilities planning, based on data and technique we use in the forecasting, statistical analysis and forecasting, we typically look at 20 years future, okay, because beyond 20 years, it's a guessing game, okay? However, I think we work on the core system for so long, we probably can offer some more reliable guess. I call that educated guess. Then the third thing is, after we understand what's the long-term future in terms of the demands on the core system for a service, how do we implement that? What's the solution? You talk about existing building. There may be different architectural solutions to address that based on different set of consideration. We will go over that. So as we say that, when you look at this building, historic courthouse in the backdrop of modern courthouse, that's what we try to frame the effort we try to achieve, okay, address this issue. Functionality, adjacency, and stacking blocking, that's an architectural term. And what does it mean? Stacking, that means you place buildings stack on each other and with certain consideration. And blocking, you mean you group the similar activity and functional space into one block, and so consider each floor, who should be on the floor. And then security requirement, everybody talk about security. What does it mean, security? What's the most efficient way to address security? Because everything comes with a price tag. And you're just trying to find a cost-effective and efficient solution to address that. And those are the issues. We talk about building entrance security screening and eliminating the multiple entrance facility and keep one major entrance for security coming through the system, and then you can apply weapons screening like TSA would do in the airport. And however, that still addresses the issue about where do you do that? How do you address the ADA accessibility requirement for the people with disability? And the third thing is the technology requirement. And this thing is very, very important in today's world, because judicial system of South Dakota is launching an e-filing effort. That means in the court, it will be an e-environment. Everything goes through the wire, okay? Everything goes to the internet. So people file their case through internet on the website, and the lawyer will not have to go to the court to file paper. And when the clerk's office receives the filing, and they can just save those records electronically on the server. And they don't have to bring the file folder from the clerk's office or in the basement into the courtroom. No, you won't see that. And the change of the clerk's work environment will be quite dramatic. Okay. And those are the technology. In the meantime, the court has a video conferencing. And that's another trend. You will see the core will expand the use into the future. And that will happen in your, affect your courtroom design, affect your communication arrangement. So those are some of the technology issue. And the first step, what we try to do, to use a statistical model to simulate the future growth, okay? And then as that, and we will get some detail. And the second thing, look at the core administration best practice. This involved how the core assigned the cases to the existing judicial staff. That include the judges, include the magistrate judge, and also include the core support staff. And what's the best practice? As we look at the judgeship assigned to Cuddington County Courthouse. And so we talk about what's your calendar practice. When you have a different calendar practice, it may have an implication of how many people will be inside your courtroom at one time. The more people you have included in the courtroom at one time, the bigger courtroom you have to build. There may be other alternatives to ease off the peak demand on the facility, so you can have a more even use of the space. And as we look at this different kind of operational changes and implication, they may affect how the architecture solution may be, the space requirement, internal space standard for some of the functional area that need to be built into the future. And the last thing is the most important. This building has been 87 years old. We need to look at whether we can extend the life of the existing building, or we have to go through a totally different alternative, such as starting from scratch. We do not know at this time. And many people in the past talk about new building, and that's one alternative. But that's the one we still need to examine, whether that's a feasible solution as compared other new alternative we may consider. So we are not taking a position on anyone yet. Okay. As the process is very simple, some of the graphic illustration of how this architecture solution eventually will be developed is based on the present workload and project into the future using the case filing of the core system over the past 15 years and trying to simulate how many people will be needed to handle that projected increase of workload. As you look at this projection, that requires different kind of statistical simulation model. We would typically use not just by the case filing trend itself, but also consider the county population involvement. How many people will be living in the county and demands for service. So those are the certain requirements. And considering the staffing, the judgeship, and then based on the number of people, you can figure out how big the building, just like planning for your house. How many children do you plan to have? Then you eventually figure out how many bedrooms and how many restrooms you need. That's a very simple analogy we can use. As I explained, the project will typically address a 20-year forecast and create a range of possibility of the future may reside. And then with the analysis of the case filing, demographic, and every other standard, you can create a comfortable zone range of the future maybe, and try to make a conscientious determination where the future may sit within the range. So use that as a target for your future space effort.
Can I interject? Just if I can interject one thing, just the statistics or the data that you're using to put this together, if anybody's curious, can be found on the Unified Justice System website for the most part with the different case types and the historical data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those data will be the official published data from the Supreme Court, and they have annual report. So we will dig in at the historic case finding data for Cuddington County and look at what the trend may look like. In addition to the core case finding data, we will also apply the U.S. Census data in terms of the historic census information plus the projected future county population. U.S. Census usually do a 20-year projection, okay, into the future. Okay. As we look at the space standard, and this may be very, very familiar to most of people. However, we just give you a one diagram to show what's a typical core room today we are looking at. Not necessarily for Cuddington County. There's a typical standard-sized core room and many a core project trying to address. And jury-tried core room, okay, the difference is a little bit very, very subtle. If I raise the question, see, how does that differ from what you have today? If you look at this diagram, anybody can answer question? If you know any different than what your existing core room?
Looks 87 years newer.
It is. The carpet is newer, right? Okay. There's some issue. Today, this is a very, very efficient configuration of so-called standard-size jury trial courtroom. You have a jury box, a judge's bench, a courtroom clerk station, and this is a bailiff, and this is a witness stand. Okay, then you have two attorney tables, and then here that's a modest rail separate the public from the litigant, and you have this bench, people sitting there, and outside there's a vestibule. You see two sets of door. We call it two door in Syria. And then outside there are two small rooms for attorney client conference. The difference is you do not have this space. Okay. You notice that? When the courtroom door is open, that's the outside hallway. So there's acoustic engineering consideration when you have the two door in series. So when the door is open, people in and out, the noise will not flow from the public hallway into the courtroom. In your existing courthouse with the two-story high rotunda, they look very, very nice. In the meantime, acoustic is one of the challenge, because once the door open, the noise in this rotunda will flow in that distract the proceeding. Second, you look at ADA assessment. None of your courtroom provide accessibility for people with disability. For example, in the new law, federal law, require the public facility to be fully accessible. You need to remove the barrier for access, which means right now in the existing courtroom, you have jury box. However, your jury box are designed in two rows, and both rows of jury seat are elevated from the floor. So people with disability, they cannot maneuver into the jury seating. And that's one incompliance. And second, you look at the witness stand. The witness stand is elevated by one step above floor level over there now, but they require you to provide access ramp for wheelchair witness to access. Those two areas, plus the attorney table and also the public gallery, and see, we need to provide wheelchair space in the courtroom, in the gallery. And all those requirements are for the public to use, because we don't know when there will be an individual with disability come to serve as a juror. We don't know whether you will call in a witness to testify with disability. So those areas need to be 100% compliant in terms of access, and there's no deviation from that. As regarding some other areas, such as judge's bench, it still has certain compliance requirement, either at least one or no less than 5% of the same unit. And those are federal law. As we look at the configuration of the courthouse, and those are the space standards, we are trying to incorporate it in the needs assessment. And each space carries some space implication square footage, and we try to address that. Look, what we have today in the courthouse, in the 87 years ago courthouse, you do have public circulation. That's a public hallway around the rotunda, and then you have a courtroom. You don't have this green space here. People just walk directly into the courtroom. What the space you're missing is the sound vestibule. And second is the attorney client conference space outside. Those are the meeting space to provide the attorney to talk with their client with confidentiality rather than doing it in the hallway. And those issues are pretty much standardized in every new courthouse built today. And second, when you look at the red area, okay, this is a prisoner elevator and staircases, which means prisoner will be moved into the courtroom away from meeting with other public or going through the public employee hallway. That's we identify this for security arrangement. That's another thing we need to consider. The third thing is when you have a judge's office and also a jury deliberation room, those will be located in the private area connected by the private hallway, and the public want to gain access to the private area, they need the access need to be controlled and screened. That's a new design for security and work privacy. And those are the general things. And okay, as you look at a courthouse, maybe a multi-story building, that comes to the issue we talk about, stacking. You stack the similar kind of function floor by floor, and then take using the elevator to address this movement. So like a prisoner elevator, they will move from lower floor holding area directly into the courtroom without going through the public hallway or the private hallway. People will never see the public will never see people in jumpsuit walking through the hallway. Okay? There's no contact. Okay? And second, the public still have access, and they will have a very, very nice public elevator, and judges will have their own elevator as they move between floor to go to different courtroom. That's a typical stacking concept in modern courthouse design. In addition, when we talk about green environment, and what does it mean? Right now, this is another sample of a courtroom with natural light coming from above the judge's bench area. So inside the courtroom, it's bright, it's pleasant, and it's not dark. Okay? That's a change of philosophy about the court environment. 30 years ago, when I first studied the courtroom requirement, courtroom always being arranged in interior area without window. Now, the concept changed. People like natural light. Okay, for people sitting in the courtroom for extensive hour period of time, they do need to have some visual relief as they're sitting. Second, you look at public assistance. And when you have a large amount of public traffic coming to the facility, they need to know where their cases will be heard in which courtroom in a multi-story building. Okay, that's a public assistance system. And that just like you see in the airport. Okay? And then there's a directory system and a kiosk system for people to gain directory assistance beside the video display. These are just some of the new technology used in the courthouse today. And many times, okay, when you look at the facility, yes, you can say, if I have all the money, I can build something new, totally from scratch. That's great. However, our situation may ask us to consider other alternatives, not just because of financial consideration, but also other reasons, because the community, for example, for this historic courthouse, the community is very, very attached to that building. Even if the court move out the building, you still need to do something about it unless you demolish that. And many times that's not an option. So then in that case, you will say, okay, I probably want to consider how to extend the use of existing facility and provide new function, new security. How do we do? Okay, that's why there are some issues we need to address. Okay, but most important, this life safety issue is a one big, big concern. Your current facility throughout the building, you don't have fire suppression system. That need to be in there. And when you look at the structure, okay, the column configuration of the structure, and that's one of the major concern, because you certainly don't want columns standing in the middle of the open courtroom. And so those are the issues we need to consider. What functions are more suitable staying in the old building in the meantime, what function it may never be suitable in the current physical environment, then you may want to consider prioritize what function need to be moved out of the building and or put in a new addition to the old courthouse, and what other can stay. It's a juggling and priority. And this is some project we did study for a different county. And like traditionally, like this is a round quorum. 30 years ago, it was very, very popular, round quorum, quorum in the round to address equal. It's a civil process. Everybody is equal. They're putting a circular space, just like what you have here at the bench. And so, however, those design example proven to be very, very painful to continue for use. First of all the furniture are custom made when you have in place. It's hard to find a replacement once those furniture are broken. Second, there are lots of acoustic problem. Everything bounced back to the center of the circle. But however, when you have the attorney presented the case to the judges or the juror, as they move away from the center of the circle, and the perception of sound will change greatly. That's a hard lesson we learn. So we resort back to the rectangle shape quorum. That's pretty much today's concept as you look at that. And building depends on the design consideration. And like this one is one interesting project we work on. This is a retail storefront in a strip mall in Clackamas County, Oregon. They had this very challenging environment given to us, say, what can we do with the storefront? The storefront is so small with this space and this a larger space. Combined, they are less than 8,000 square feet. 8,000 square feet. The challenge you're putting here is this two storefront are not on even ground. This is higher than this. How do you make a court with two judges in this space? Okay. That I just want to show you some example. There are some impossibility can be make very, very exciting solution. And this is the same space. You see the small portion, the larger portion. And we can have this very, very limited jurisdiction court coming through the middle with security screening and coming through the ADA access to the elevated portion of the storefront and going to a large courtroom while you have the judges and support staff office in the back. Okay, everything, they provide private circulation connecting all the space here. And the public will move from here into here. Okay. And then you look at different kind of size of courtroom. This is a regular size courtroom and this small hearing room for different type of court docket. But you also have the clerk's station. And those kind of arrangement. Everything is separated with different circulation requirement. So this is just an architectural example we're trying to address. But there's some grandiose architecture, like a federal courthouse in Denver. You can see this nice courthouse with a tower solution and with a small bump up at the lower level. As you look at that, this one of the grandiose design, but it carried the same kind of design element, such as circulation, separate circulation. Okay, can we go to the next page? You look at that, the two courtroom, the judge's office in the back, and this is a private hallway. The tan color is the private hallway for employee and judges to move around. And this is a two courtroom. And between the two courtroom, you have a holding cell and prisoner elevator. Okay, and judges take the elevator up using the judge's elevator, and the public is moving around this front hallway. And they have a attorney client conference room. They have a sound vestibule. That's a typical arrangement. And, yeah. as they stack together, they can take advantage of the vertical circulation. This is a state court in King County. Okay, that's a Seattle area. And you can see old building and still equipped with the latest design, the same concept as we mentioned in the previous diagram. And this is another classic design. This is an old courthouse, like a brick building. You can see the two-story. And what they did, they designed a new building to mimic the image of what their historic courthouse looks like, right across from this site over here. You can see the same design element, okay? You can see the same symbol, clock tower. And to signify the entrance, you can see the nice colonnade design. This is a colonnade design, the vertical element. That's every courthouse has colonnade, okay, columns there. But they use a design feature to address that. But this one, the nice feature is all the judges are on the penthouse level. That's a totally different solution. And so we call that collegiate chamber concept. Each judge will have access to any one of the courtroom in this structure. So it's not your courtroom or my courtroom. So they allow efficient assignment of courtroom to judges based on the types of docket, the number of people attending that docket, so they can assign judge to different sides of courtroom. And that's a very, very popular trend in the larger court when you can share some of the space. So that's the layout. You can see that they still maintain the prisoner holding facility between the courtroom and to allow direct access for prisoner into the courtroom. They also allow for attorney meeting with the detainee through this interview booth. Okay, it's controlled by the sheriff's deputy. And the public still move around this area, and the judges and courtroom support staff and jury deliberation room are located in the back. However, judge chamber are on the penthouse. This is the place close to Disney World in Oceana County, Kissimmee, Florida. As we look at this project, we helped identify the space requirement. And that's just the beginning for your long-term effort, try to make this facility project work, the planning. Okay? You really need to look at what's the need, okay? What's the space requirement, what's the long-term projection, so you can develop a space program which will identify every functional space you may need in the future, and what's the sharing of those space, and you go through that process. That's what we've been doing today, to talk with core users, the stakeholder, about some of the functional issue and space issue. We need to understand how you function so we can make proper judgment about what the actual need mean. As you look at this linear process in terms of facility project, we are in the first phase, planning, identify requirement, identify the cost implication, before you can start with the design, bidding, and construction, and moving. This process may take quite some time. And the design planning work usually takes 6 months. You go through the process, understand the needs, and so you can develop a realistic cost estimate, and which will be used to the county. We need to figure out what's the finance plan of this project. It take a while, okay. But spending some time doing the homework may help you to resolve lots of problems later on. And also is make sure it's a cost-effective solution for the long term. And this kind of process may take 3 years or even longer, 3 to 4 years process. And so even you start today, you won't see a new building in 3 years at a minimum. That's typical experience we deal with. The design may take 12 months of time. And then the bidding, you put some time in issue RFP to solicit bid for construction, and construction may take more time because here you don't have the winter construction schedule, so it drags the time longer. So that's why 3, 4, or 5 years is a reasonable time frame for any construction project at this site. And that's my general introduction about the project life cycle, courthouse project.
Anybody have any questions of Mr. Ye? Well, I guess one thing I would ask, just particularly on this slide, so once the National Center for State Courts provides your assessment, so we're talking in terms of the type, the amount of space, the type of space, how many of each type of space. Once we have that, and we really appreciate the help of the National Center for State Courts in helping us to do that, what do you see as the next step for us as we approach the design phase, or are there other, can you share with us some of the things you've seen various jurisdictions do as far as taking it to the next step once we get a needs assessment done?
The needs assessment, the end product identify how many square feet the court space should be. And second, you want to find the implementation option you have, because understanding you have an old building and the future of the old building is yet to be determined, whether that will be repurposed for the court use, and when you look at on-site expansion and remodeling of the courthouse option, or you go to a completely new location to build something from scratch. Those options you need to look at, the site option, and also each will carry a price tag that you want to see. That's why for this planning, we understand you are not just dealing with the courthouse. You are also trying to find solution of the sheriff's department and the jail. Okay? And the location, that's another big issue, whether you, once the space requirement being developed, you can see, first thing, whether you can fit on the existing site. And if the jail and the court need to be co-located, or if you can find separate location, and then you need to deal with some other issue brought up, such as prisoner transportation consideration, and how far these two facilities should be apart or should be next to each other. And that has some cost issue. It takes some while to figure out. But within the next 12 months, I think understanding the county is also engaging another jail consultant to study the requirement of the jail facility. So when you have the two assessment result come up, then you want to see what's the alternative in terms implementation alternative, on-site implementation or separate site implementation or completely new facility for both. So a different issue, then you need to do some massing concept to see feasibility, how the arrangement, not just the building, but also the public parking and impact to the surrounding area. So we need to address those issues, and it takes a while. At least 12 months to synthesize a different option you may have and identify how much each will cost. And eventually that goes through this process. And as you go through another public referendum for any other implementation, that's another local political exercise you need to do. We call that public awareness project. You need to let the public to understand the effort, the process, you come to the conclusion, and let them be involved, let them comment on that, so let them appreciate the work you have done. And it's not we're building a Taj Mahal, it's the actual data tell the story. Okay, so the public awareness process, it usually takes some while, so community, town hall meeting and get to try to educate the general public about why you need the new facility? Why do you need to upgrade your existing facility? Those process. And the 12 months time schedule is a very conservative estimate for that. And before you go to the design, there are different kind of project management, project delivery structure observed in the industry. And first of all, you need to have somebody understand what's the construction practice, what's the design issue, what's the cost control. So we call that construction management. And you look at in-house whether you have such in-house expertise to manage this type of project. Or you may want to get a professional service. Okay. That's construction manager service. Okay, that we call the CM. And different contracting requirements. Some of the CM just help to project manager to manage a project. Some of the CM have to guarantee the delivery cost. You basically just bid out this project for this fixed price and make sure you deliver. Okay, if anything exceed the budget, the construction manager will absorb that. They call it a CM at risk, because at risk is the construction manager. So you want to deliver the process based on certain set of specification. That's very important. You want to specify exactly the final product should be, rather than to undercut the quality of the product. So CM at risk, that's one of the way to address this issue. Or you can go to the traditional process to have the designer to help you manage the project for inspection, quality control, or something like that. Architect can still provide the full service besides designing the building. And also, they will issue the construction document for the contractor to bid on that. They will come in to, the architect will come in to inspect the contractor work and to make sure everything meets the design criteria. That's another approach. So each, there are different kind of delivery method you may want to consider, and that takes time to plan for that.
Question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ye?
Excuse me, we haven't opened the floor yet for everybody. Just, we have a question from Mr. McElhaney.
Well, I think we'll have
opportunity for everybody to ask questions.
Mr. While you're doing your analysis, will you be looking at what we have done so far as our proposed plan that has failed from the last election? Will you be analyzing that plan as well?
I had a chance to glance over one of the diagram, okay, prepared from in the last effort, and which seems to be a mixed use facility, mixed use plan, which means the sheriff's administration and jail support function on the first lower level, and why the courthouse functioning are pretty much on the second floor above the sheriff's administrative function and jail support function. And beside the two-story structure, there will be a jail pod. The design is octagonal shape and with a different kind of configuration. And I think that's one of the concept, okay, with the focus for the new construction. We don't know why it didn't get the voter approval. That could be many, many reasons. And it's hard to comment on something was developed some time ago, which we're not aware of the why the decision was made that way. And there are different kind of architecture solutions, and there are different ways to package the project, okay, and price tag, obviously, that's one major concern, how much they cost to do that, and so there are many, many things, okay, that you can say, but it's a after game comment is unfair to the person who did that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess my question was just simply, I mean, not saying would you approve it or anything like that. I was just wondering if in doing your analysis, if you would actually, use the data that we've already, spent money on and provided.
Yes, with a little bit of detail I look into, and some of the space standard probably have room for reprogram. For example, the concept feature three large size squirrels plus one hearing room. And that's the first thing, because we do space planning. We always see, okay, for this, first of all, is it normal to have a huge quorum in courthouse today? And all those quorums are large quorum by today's standard, 2,200 square feet each. And what justify all the quorum need to be sent as large as 2,200 square feet? Typical space standard, we look at jury trial quorum is about 1,600 to 1,700 square feet, which will allow 60 public seating. And if you have a large quorum, you need to justify why. But also justify why all the three quorum are large, okay? And whether the calendar could be coordinated. So you may have a different kind of space arrangement, not necessarily all the three quorum for the three judges occupy the same size of space. And that's one issue as we discuss with the judges today. And we get a very, very positive feedback. And there are alternatives, and they can manage a better and more cost-efficient solution when you come to the space standard for the quorum. And so that's one of the first thing, the first day I'm here. And based on that alone, that means millions of dollars different in the construction price tag.
I just, you touched on the finance end of it a little bit. In your past projects, have you got any ratios with the cost of the construction of the versus the tax base or the population area?
Yes, I think for the courthouse construction, the cost differ based on different region, and the availability of skilled labor, that's one thing, and the availability of material, local material. And in a courthouse project in Hawaii, the construction unit cost per square foot for the courthouse is more than twice than what you can do in mainland U.S. However, within mainland U.S., there are different price index. And on the East Coast, okay, we have seen courthouse project was built with $600 per square foot. Consider how much your house, for 2,000 square feet house, how much does it cost to build? Okay, it's a huge price different. But then when you look at Midwest, okay, and the price is much less, okay, than the coastal area. California, those are very, very expensive. And, but the, in the Midwest, they could be as low as something. However, okay, that's for the new construction. That means everything's from scratch. You are dealing with, if you, the county choose to extend the life and use of the courthouse and want to update that, the existing building, yes, you can choose some of the less costly renovation, determine what function could be located in the existing building, and then build a new addition for the function which obviously hard to be accommodated or cannot be accommodated in the existing courthouse structure. So that you prioritize your occupancy in trying to better use your building and reduce the size of construction, but focus on what are the priority in the construction plan. So get back to your last question about cost. Okay. Cost, we have seen a great variety, as I say, on the coast. You can see $600 or $400, $500 per square foot. And but we also saw very low-cost implementation, $200-some per square foot. However, for sure, you won't have granite in the hallway for the $250. So that's another thing is when you look at new construction, yes, functionality and convenience, everything is there. But you just won't be able to afford the type of material that you use to build the existing county courthouse. There's no granite, lots of drywall. And so when you look at the public facility, since they are going to be used a long, long time, material, we do need to suggest local county government to put in quality material that only that help the long-term cost and maintenance.
Any other questions from the committee? I had one question. Go ahead, Mr. Koistinen.
I do have a question. You had mentioned maybe renovating. I mean, if the county wanted to renovate the existing building and then adding on to it. Now, the American with Disabilities Act, does that, I've heard that in an existing building on the National Historic Registry, that the courts, the law has been very lenient with them having to conform to the Disability Act.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that stuff in the existing building probably won't come into play. I suppose if you have a major remodeling or adding on to it, would that come into play then?
It's a mixed solution, and when you come to American with Disability Act, passed by the Congress in 1990, and National Center involved, actually I personally involved in developing core facility accessibility checklist to help the core manager to verify the space issue in terms of accessibility and find a way to adapt to the situation, what they can do. And I was also serving as a member to the U.S. Access Board for the Core Facility Committee. And we've been involved in the process, understand what is the requirement. So give you my personal interpretation on this law. Yes, historic facilities are subject to a more lenient regulation in terms of providing accessibility. But whenever that historic building get involved in the significant remodeling effort, whatever area being remodeled need to be fully accessible. That means the barrier need to be removed. So, but if you don't touch it, that's a different issue. Then you come to the solution about equal access. Equal access means, yes, some of the area you cannot provide it, but people with disability come for service, then you need to make sure they can still receive the access, even though some of the treatment will be a little bit different. For example, in some areas, they just cannot overcome the elevation change in the building. And then they need to have a system so they can go through one entrance and push the bell and get to gain access into the building with people coming to assist you. And that's one alternative you need to address. But when you look at, if you take that concept, okay, equal access. So when you look, just take this option of building an addition attached, connect to the existing building. That's a way you can supplement the deficiency in terms of accessibility in the main structure by putting all the public accessible area, such as best public restroom, public elevator, okay, and also security arrangement in the new addition, and create a new entrance, okay, so you don't have to deal with a step before the building. And you change the function of the building to make sure the new addition can supplement and relieve some of the regulation pressure on the existing building and keep the existing building as a minimal use. The other thing is there are differences in terms of what space need to be fully accessible. Any public accessible area need to be fully accessible. However, when you come to the employee work area, the law has a different requirement. It's only 5% or at least one. For example, when we say 5%, what does it mean? That means if you have 20 people working in an open office, okay, or you have 20 counter window, then at least 5% of those counter need to be of accessible design. That's for when you come for the employee working in the system. Then when you come to the courtroom design, the issue is if you are building 5 courtrooms of the same size, okay, and one courtroom need to be fully accessible design, which include all the workstation for judges bench, witness stand, jury box, and clerk's workstation, and attorney table, and gallery, they need to be fully accessible design or meet the 5%. The gallery, if you have 50 seats, you need to have at least 2 seats reserved for the wheelchair user. And that's, so there's a different kind of ratio you can deal with that. And as regarding existing quorum, if you want to maintain that, you can use adaptability for the future conversion. There are different kind of way to look at that. Rather than you want to make everything 100%, it's very hard to do that.
Other questions? I can open up to the public now. Mr. Hahn, did you have a question before?
Yeah. I just want to come up to the table for us. On this needs assessment?
Yes.
Are there two parts to that? One being the structural needs that have to be changed to make it accessible, that being one part of the assessment, and the other assessment would be, like, I think there's 6,000-7,000 people that went through the system here. Do you analyze who they are, why they went through the system? That could be reduced some by changing our method of jurisdictional practices. Do you get into that, or are you just structural?
Okay. That's a very, very good question. Needs assessment is based on current work format. And then when you talk about this public traffic coming to the system, yes, when there are trains in the court, there should be fewer and fewer people. They need to be physically visiting the courthouse, because that's why you have e-filing. You can pay your payment on credit card over the internet that come to play. So you don't have to make a visit to the clerk's office just to pay your traffic ticket. And those are the new thing will come. Second, about the public traffic. And typically people look at the public traffic passing through the front door of the courthouse is trying to determine what the security screening requirement based on certain throughput, THROUGHPUT, throughput. And so how fast, what's the processing rate of the walkthrough magnetometer, okay, can handle. And that's in a larger jurisdiction when they have 4,000 or 5,000 people just pour into the building between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. They have to determine how many security screening stations be placed and determine what's the configuration, what's the size of this lobby should be. That's how you do the traffic analysis.
That's the people flow.
And then the process flow, that's another issue.
Well, here, I was just going to, at one of these meetings, I got a handout. Said there were
use a microphone.
463 cases filed in Cottington County. What's the background to those 7,463 cases?
The background of that?
I mean, maybe there's something within the 7,000 number.
Yeah, I think I can clarify the question a little bit. So you're speaking of the total case filings for Cottington County is in the 7,000 range, right?
I'm referring to exactly what's written in this.
Right. Exactly. And so I think that's part of just, I think if I could, I think I can clarify the question or the answer a little bit, is that that's what we're asking Mr. Ye and the National Center to do, is to take a look at those, you know, those trends. That's, for example, that 7,000, you know, overall, that's the overall number. And I think and that graph there that's on that sheet, it has, it shows the more serious things like certain civil cases and then the class one misdemeanors and the felonies. And so that's a little under 2,000 in 2013. So that's the data that we're providing to the National Center so that they can map it out and do those projections. I think, does that answer your question, Mr. Hahn?
Not really, because the growth, it says the growth in caseload was over 1,600. And it appears to be in 2013. Mm-hmm. So that 1,600 number would have to be in that 7,463. And what I'm asking really is, what are they? Are they criminal cases, civil cases, jury cases, and what are the offenses? I know in tonight's paper they had an article in there where the methamphetamine has increased and all that sort of thing.
Okay.
I mean, that's...
I can help you
that information.
Yes, we do. When you look at the case filing projection, beside the total new cases filed in the court, individual case type, yes, you do have civil, you do have criminal, and criminal, you have misdemeanor, you have a felony, and then civil, you have family, you also have juvenile. When you look at a case filing, we will do analysis and projection based on individual case type. The felony case type, that's one category of projection. And then when you look at civil matter and when you look at family matter, okay, each will have some projection. Those projection analysis to help us to identify what area of the service internal public demand, okay, same to will be in the future. Whether if you see a changing pattern or certain type of cases, then you may want to consider in your future staffing consideration and what type of staff or what type of program, service program, you need to consider and what the program practice should be included in the future plan. For example, and when you have a family matter, okay, and if it show domestic violence cases is surging, then for the county, you really need to think whether that's one of the issue the local community need to address. And when you have the DUI cases that go higher, then you may want to consider you may have different kind of treatment program to be provided. Besides putting people in jail, you may want to see what treatment program need to be in place. The help, that's how we say the best practice. Based on the analysis of your case involvement over here and to see the long-term trend. And when you see all the growth, that may be solution and not necessarily directly respond to the proportional increase of the staff. No, you may have different issues, such as alternative dispute resolution, how to help people to resolve their dispute instead of going to the lengthy, expensive, formal judicial process. Okay, so certain programs need to be in play to address the public demands on the system. There are different ways. That's that's what we call best practice, and we can consider. Okay.
If there,
that's a good answer. But the thing that kind of interested me, you showed a storefront.
A storefront
that was changed into a small claims court or something.
A traffic court.
Are you considering that within our own community, taking the current courthouse and maybe another facility that some of these things?
Yeah, can I
have to add a judge to our system or something like that?
Can I jump in on that one? Because I think at this level, Mr. Ron, we're at the needs assessment. What I think that shows just some of the possibilities. Some that we need to be flexible in our thinking as we approach, you know, the current facility. And so, we're still at a point where we're dealing with needs and need to get to our criteria, and then we start talking options in a more serious way once we have our criteria laid out based on the needs that the National Center is helping us with. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, I think the needs analysis just trying to gauge the changes as compared to today. Okay. And so when you look at implementation, that's a different step or effort. However, as I would say that Cardinal County with a 27,000 population, okay, and with two circuit judges, we still categorize that as a rural court, a small court. Okay. And so then get back to the issue whether you can think about this community court. That's for the geographically large county, okay? And then they consider to push some of the user-friendly service, like a traffic court into the local community. And for example, if you look at Harris County, where Houston is located, the county size is about 4,000 square miles. And so they have all those satellite facility. They call that Justice Court. And there were 16 of them dotted around the county along the interstate, okay, the loop. And so that's to provide service. However, when they do that, the criminal cases, the felony cases, civil cases, and juvenile cases are still centralized, located in downtown Houston. Because many of those heavyweight cases, I should say that, require other support function, prisoner circulation, prisoner delivery, jury delivery. And so it's better to centralize that to gain the efficiency while you can keep some of the more community-based service, such as paying your traffic ticket and going to get your marriage license, and some other thing in the local community satellite arrangement. So it's a different solution, and based on different circumstances, I would say that. But for the rural court, it's still centralized because you're far from the decentralization, per se.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Okay. I just had one quick question. I hope it's quick. Put this to the voters the last time we had a conceptual drawing that we were talking about before. Have you seen other jurisdictions just come to the voters with an amount of money, or do they always have a concept prepared? Typically, what's the typical thing you see when something's put to the voters for financing?
I think you just need people to understand how you conclude the conclusion, that conclude your recommendation to address the issue. So a public awareness campaign usually involves the court, the county, the local leader into the process. And you want, for example, I think the local bar could be the best friend you have. And also the law enforcement, you understand the issue, so you should be part of the team to address a solution. And it's the time. This thing won't happen by itself. It really requires everybody to chip in the effort to engage in the community. And so I understand many of the projects involve this town hall meeting, and to go through this presentation, explain the issue, and also the media, okay, will be a very, very useful avenue to share your thinking with the public.
Thank you. One quick one, Mr. Hahn. We got to keep moving. What?
It's a very important question.
Microphone, please. Can you use a microphone, please?
Oh, excuse me. The last, when we had the issue on the ballot for $35 million, is that correct? Did that $35 million, was that the total cost, like, amortized over 30, 40 years, or was that the upfront cost?
That was, first of all, it was up to $35 million. And it was going to be over 20 years. So in the beginning, if it was up to $35 million, the applied level was $1.22 per thousand. And as the years go on, that number would lower. But it was over a 20-year plan.
So the $35 million was the initial outlay.
Well, up to. So
yes.
That, so
up
anyway,
to, but
yeah.
It's the initial outlay.
Well,
because I read another article from another county who's considering a jail, and they said it was going to cost them $5 million. So I called one of the people from that county, and they said, well, $5 million, but over 40 years there, it said it would be, the final cost would be $10 million.
Well,
that's the point I'm asking.
Wait, okay. Well, I think that's maybe that's a question for us to figure out as a county later on, you know, as we figure out what the cost might be. So those are things that we're going to need to consider. I think we need to let Mr. Ye go because he needs to drive to Sioux Falls so he can catch us, you know, check into the hotel and then catch your flight tomorrow morning. And then you have to be in Reno, Nevada doing a similar thing tomorrow night. I'm guessing that's what. So you're kind of busy, so we really appreciate the assistance of the National Center for State Courts, and I found it very interesting to follow along on your meetings today with all the court officials. So thank you very much on behalf of our county for your assistance, and we look forward to working with you throughout this assessment process.
Thank you very much for considering National Center to help with your project. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, one point for the public. If anybody's curious, there's a restroom that's behind the screen here right over there. Our housekeeping needs, if anybody needs to use it. And then as far as like a soda machine, you can go up the stairs just outside the door. There's a pop machine that would be located in the same area as the restroom. So,
yeah, don't panic. We're about a third of the way. No, I'm just kidding. We're anyway, we... Yeah, so I appreciate that, Commissioner McElhaney. Just real quick, this is kind of the some of the same stuff that Mr. Ye just touched on, and then that's going to lead into our next discussion topic. You probably heard a lot of these words. This is out of one of the publications from the National Center for State Courts, but just the things that we need to be thinking about. I'm not going to go into much detail because I think these are kind of the things where we're going to be centering our discussions around as we go through this. Obviously, he talked about organization, administration, how we organize calendaring, et cetera, talking about the changing case types and the how that's tied to the demographics and how they might grow, picking the site together with the jail or not with the jail, with those kinds of decisions we have to figure out. Flexibility, you know, whether we can use spaces for different things, what needs to be close to each other, what offices. Does the state's attorney need to be close to a certain other office or those kinds of questions? He talked a lot about zoning and circulation, so secure or public circulation or bringing inmate witnesses into the courtroom, square footage requirements. That's kind of what we're really trying to get to with that needs assessment. And then the last point, a renovation, we touched on a lot on historical preservation when we're talking about handicapped access. And so the next thing we're going to talk about on building codes, he commented on that, but the next thing we want to touch on to plant a seed in our minds about the kinds of things we need to be thinking about when we think about our old courthouse is in terms of its historical value And so I want to turn it over to Christy Lakai. So if you have a seat, Christy. So Christy's from the Cottington County Historical Museum. Is it the society as well? Do we say?
I'm actually an employee of the Cottington County Historical Society, and they hire me to direct the Cottington County Heritage Museum. And I'm also the project manager for the Cottington County Historic Preservation Commission. So there's a whole lot of Cottington County in that.
That's good. Let me just preface one thing. So one of the things, the reason we asked you here is one of the things that in our past meetings we were talking about, who do we need to talk to? So do we need to talk to the state's attorney, judges, law enforcement, et cetera? And one of the things that came up was Historical Society, because people obviously are concerned about what we do with the current courthouse. And so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how I changed the slides. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to go through a quick history, and I can do quick. So this is the original Cottington County Courthouse. This was built in 1884 on the exact same site where our courthouse is today. I think this is a fun picture because the Company H statue is still there. It was torn down in 1927 for a brand new courthouse. And in the meantime, all of the court offices operated out of the third floor of the Lincoln Hotel. So maybe if this all works out, you can get something set up at the Hampton or something like that. So this is today's courthouse. Now, it's built in the neoclassical style of architecture, and this was really popular in the 1900 into the 1920s. So this would have been the deal at the time. A significant design feature of the current building is the columns on the front. They're Ionic columns. I don't know if anybody ever had to learn all the different columns in high school, but one of the elements that the columns do is it creates an impressive public structure. And I think we can all agree walking up to the front steps of the courthouse is impressive. The courthouse is built from white Indiana limestone, which is a sedimentary stone, which is great for building, but if acid rain continues, we could have some problems because that's one of the downfalls of limestone. And other buildings that are built of the same stone are the Empire State Building and the National Cathedral, so we're in good company. Now, in 1929, they dedicated the building, and they said that the interior was richly finished in marble with harmoniously blended colors. The staircase is made from Tennessee marble, and all of the walls inside have 1-inch thick cut slabs of marble that cover the building, and those come from the Appalachian Mountains in Tennessee. So our Midwestern courtroom is really a little bit southern when you look at it. Now, there are some things in the building that are very detailed. The rotunda is the central and most striking decorative feature of the building. It goes through the entire three floors, and the paintings Justice and Power and Wisdom and Mercy were painted by a man named Vincent Adorate from New York City. Some of the coloring and scroll work around the pictures are very detailed, and they actually used about $700 worth of gold leaf in 1928, which turns to about $10,000 in 2011, and that's as far as my inflation calculator goes on my phone, so that's all I know. There are arches on the second and third floors, brass railings, and one interesting note was that the third floor was home to the state headquarters of the American Legion. When they were completing the original building, they started to run out of money. And so the American Legion donated the money to pay off the third floor in exchange for free rent as long as they wanted to remain in the building. So it was a beautiful building, but they ran out of money. Some of the details in this courthouse are actually more detailed and more ornate than even the state capitol. Recently, the South Dakota State Historical Society printed a book about all of the county capitals in South Dakota, and ours is on the cover because it's the best one, right? Here's a picture of the stained glass. At one point, there was a bandstand in the yard, and that's where the city band had their concerts. Now, there are some of this might be the same as what the last guy said, but many court facility projects involve some amount of renovation. And some of that depends on the historical architectural significance of the building, the functionality of the current courthouse, the ability to upgrade the existing structure to comply with modern code requirements, the potential for future expansion, the needs of persons with disabilities, cost, security, operational efficiency, and the potential for other uses of the facility. And I'm sure these are all things that you guys have thought about. I have a few terms that I'm going to share with you so that you can use them. But I feel there's one thing that we should note, and that's that listing on the National Register of Historic Places is honorary. That's it. There are available funds for nonprofits who want to make arrangements to fix their historic buildings, but most of those grants are matching. And there are very few. And if a building is removed from the National Register of Historic Places, they don't even come take the plaque. So that should be noted when you're talking about historical stuff. Restoration is the first term. This is the most restrictive in its treatment of the building. When restoring a historic facility, the purpose is to return each portion of the building to the same date or era, often to the original condition. This may involve removing stuff. This is what happened to the Millett House. There's no bathroom in the Millett House because it's supposed to be 1885. There's nothing that existed after 1890 in the Millett House because it's 1885. So if you were to do an actual restoration, that would be picking a day and then making the building exactly that. Rehabilitation attempts to bring the building up to modern functional standards through minor alterations without changing the original fabric of the building. So this is a little fix here, a small elevator here, you know, just little things that don't take away from the main structure of what the building was when it was made. Conservation refers to the exterior of the building to get it into a stable condition and then add different systems while being sensitive to their integration with the original concept of the building. So this is mostly an exterior thing. And this, you know, if one of the columns is going to fall off, then we need to conserve the exterior of the building. Remodeling makes functional changes to the building while ignoring important historical or architectural features. Removing or replacing these features without evaluating their significance or contribution to the building. This one makes me think of like a really untouched 1950s home. And you just go in and go, you know, you see it on Home and Garden. The whole kitchen has to go. Well, that kitchen was historic and it was totally functional, but they just rip the whole thing out because they don't like it. So that's what remodeling would be, knocking out walls without really looking into whether you could keep them or not keep them. Preservation is just keeping the building standing. This is just preserving what's there and preventing further deterioration. And reconstruction is when you build a brand new courthouse that looks just like the old courthouse. So I don't think we unless you want to build a double one there. Now, some of the things that you'll run into is that an active courthouse is a living building that can't be frozen in time. We can't go back to the years when there weren't public restrooms or things weren't ADA accessible. Many projects result in a combination of all of the treatments and some new construction. And this combination of approaches should be done honestly so that the true historic fabric can be distinguished from new construction while using designs and materials that are compatible and sympathetic. So if you were to do an addition to the courthouse, you'd want to make it pleasing to look at so that it looked good with the old courthouse, but obviously different. You wouldn't want to add on to it so it looked exactly the same. So someone would say, well, what's the old part and what's the new part? You'd want to do it just enough different that it still showcased the original historic building without detracting from it, but still having its functional purpose. And that's all I've got. Does anybody have any questions?
I have one.
Uh-huh.
So in the period of time, going back to the beginning portion of your presentation, in the period of time surrounding 1927 when the decision was made to level the old courthouse and build a brand new one, how many of the elected officials or the leaders were either lynched or shot or run out of town?
None that I know of. One of my hobbies is looking up crimes and murders in Cottington County, and I haven't found any that were related to a new courthouse in 1927.
So hopefully we still have some of those roots right here in Cottington County.
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead, Mr. Mike. Just use the microphone.
I've got a historical question.
Sure.
In the 5 or 6 years following the completion of our current courthouse, can you go and tell me how many farms in Cottington County were lost because they could not pay the taxes?
I don't have that information off the top of my head.
That was a trick question, I think. But anyway, anybody have any questions on the committee? I had a couple questions, if nobody else does. One was, why did they tear down the 1800s courthouse? Do you know why?
Or? I think it was probably somewhat a size issue, but also a lot of the early buildings in Cottington County were built with bricks that were made here, and we don't really have good soil for brick. And so a lot of buildings that were made with local brick were not structurally sound 30 to 40 years later. That was what happened to the city hall, and that's, I think that's why the Millett House is painted today, is to keep the brick from deteriorating further.
And then the other question I had was, as we go through this, I think this is kind of a you know, to plant a bug in our ears about what we need to be thinking about, because just from the previous meetings we had, history is a concern. So how do you, and I'm open to any suggestions, but I would kind of picture that we would might develop a set of criteria or stuff we don't want to mess with, mm-hmm. you know, say the paintings in the rotunda or something, you know, some how do we formulate that into criteria? And then within Cottington County, who do we approach to help us do that? Is it Christy Lukai? Or
I think so. You know, I thought about that some when I was getting ready for this, and really I think the facade of the building is one of the most important things. And also, you know, most of the things that I find writing about and that you find the pictures of and the things that people are fond of are everything in that rotunda, the paintings and the gold leaf and the dome. I think those would be the things that I would focus on, the marble, just everything in that kind of central area in the courthouse. Because really, as a member of the public, I've rarely seen more of the courthouse, you know? I go sometimes in the back of the Register of Deeds, but I don't know what they do in court services or in the auditor's office. You know, those things that aren't open to the public doesn't know about.
All right. Well, I think maybe we can work together to form, maybe mm-hmm. put together a list of things that we, that you know, that we want to preserve. And that way we can, you know, we have that going forward. And
I can pull up the paperwork for when the building was originally nominated to be on the National Register, and we can see what the features were that were considered key in getting it on the register.
Don, do you remember the bandstand?
I sure do. We used to run
make a lot of noise while Peck's band was playing.
So I think maybe we get in contact, and I hadn't thought about that, you know, the features that got it onto the National Register in the first place. And then if we could look at other, say things like the bathrooms, for example, they all have a step, except for the one on the ground floor. So there are those kinds of things that, you know, I guess a bathroom is, you know, people aren't historically attached to that, fortunately. But and I think those are kind of the gray areas right now. We don't know how much, if you wanted to do something to that, how much damage you would need to do to the rest of the facility that you care about in order to get to that. So, but hopefully that, I'm trying to frame the question. What I'm working at is trying to frame the question and figure out what we ought to do next in order to make sure we have this written down as something that we can apply as we start evaluating options. Mm-hmm. And so, any other comments or questions in that regard? The air conditioning's kicking in. I can feel it, so I'm starting to wake up. But with that, thank you very much, Christy, for your help in getting this, getting our minds focused on something we all care about. And I'm going to plow ahead. I had on the agenda to talk about a possible timeline for the whole project, and after spending time talking to Cheng Ming Ye, I thought, well, I better look at that again before we talk about it in public, because I have to think about it some more, because that man has a lot more experience than I do in that. So we'll hopefully talk about that next time. But we need to be keeping in mind as we go through this, just a couple things that we're going to be talking about in the coming months. So just so everybody understands, we're waiting for two consultants to come back with assessments. One is Mr. Garnos, who we talked to at the last meeting, and he'll be coming to town from time to time, so we want to offer him support. I appreciate the sheriff's office support in providing him the data that he needs to do his projections for the inmate population. And likewise, we'll be working with Mr. Ye to support him as he comes up with the assessment. And he has some other people back at the National Center that are going to help him put that together. It's possible he may want to come back and visit, but I think he's so experienced in this. We're a relatively small jurisdiction, and compared to some of the other things he works, I doubt if he's going to need to come back, but I suppose that's possible. And then the other thing, while we're waiting for those assessments, on the next thing there, we probably need to look at visiting some other facilities that have been renovated in the area, say in Minnesota or South Dakota or North Dakota, possibly that we could go take a look at, just to get some ideas. And it always helps to see other ideas with your own eyes, as opposed to just talking about them. And so that maybe while we're waiting for some of these assessments to get done, this is a good time period for us to take care of that. And so my idea would be to look at maybe about 3 to 4 facilities, but at least I'd want to have one facility where the jail and the courthouse are combined, similar to what you know, the concept that we had going into the vote before. And there's plenty of places like that. I know in Minnesota, and then another situation where those two facilities are separate. So if anybody has any ideas, this is kind of discussion time about how to do that. And I've identified a number of things that I found on the internet, and I'll start making contact with people if unless anybody has any other ideas or any other types of facilities to visit. Okay, and then we're going to continue to talk to stakeholders. The one question I had, some of the key stakeholders are court services and the clerk of courts. And we have been meeting we've been doing our meetings in the evening. I just need to, if evening meetings are what we want to do, some folks, they have to get paid overtime, or they have to adjust their schedule for that day, because if they're coming in the evening, we have to, the court needs to make provision for that. So is there a time of day, maybe during the workday, that we could meet, or do we need to keep it in the evening? We can adjust if either way, but any thoughts on time of day meeting as a committee? Are evenings better for?
Evening.
What during the work? Would the work day be okay as well? Or that's probably going to be hard for you.
I have enough notice.
Okay. How about for? Same thing for.
I guess in general for us, maybe first thing in the morning, 8 a.m., so we can get it done and then go, because we go out in the country and we're out a ways. And
okay.
So, one thought.
All right, so early morning or evening then. So we'll communicate to coordinate that. And then on the visits, those would be things that would probably take, I'm thinking probably mid-June and July for that. We may not necessarily need to do a July meeting if we do a couple visits. So, but that would be something where we'd invite the press to come along if you could. You know, then I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Okay, moved by Mr. Andrus, seconded by Mr. Quaiston. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Meeting adjourned.